This is a People First Radio podcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Nanaimo Access activist Terry Weens has grown up with disability, lived through his adult years with that disability, and is now aging into senior years. But will his changing needs be met? Terry says he is part of a new phenomenon. Disabled seniors who have lived a lifetime with disability, one that is different from seniors experiencing age-related health deterioration. We're joined on the phone by Terry Weens. Terry, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Kevin. Good morning or good afternoon.
Hello. Welcome back to People First Radio.
Thanks, and thanks for having me back.
Terry, you've taken a particular interest. Well, in fact, let's start with aging, seniors, disability, and accessibility. Your most recent blog post describes the experience of living with disability after childhood polio, aging with a body that has endured, in your words, a lifetime of disability. Tell us about the issues and challenges that are emerging.
Well, it's very timely, actually, because I just saw my doctor yesterday. And he said he's never seen anything like this before, and that was arthritis in my elbows. He said that's not something they're used to. They just don't see. They see it in knees. They see it in wrists, this type, with others. But he said I've never experienced this kind of thing before. I asked him what's my options. You know, this affects my ability to wheel, to transfer in and out of my chair. He said, well, he's got to look into that because he's not sure. So, and what I've looked into for myself, programs and that type of thing, support programs, that when I was working, I used to access some through my extended health program at work. I don't have that anymore. So when I need something as simple as my toenails cut, that's $60 a month. You know, that's not covered through PharmaCare. When I look at what's available for supported living, what do I have access to as far as services? I'm discovering I would have been much further ahead having been on provincial disability benefits program for most of my life, because there's services more readily available in those situations. Don't ask me why. I've given up trying to figure out policy with various levels of government. But again, a lot of these programs were written based on the premise 25, 30 years average life expectancy. That's changing, you know, as I indicated before, that's changing a lot. So it's all of these little things. Even my doctor, and I've had other doctors tell me this too that I've seen recently. In fact, I was at the hospital a week ago for the x-ray on my elbow, and he said, you know, I'm not sure how to get you up on the table, the x-ray table. This is a medical facility, and they don't know how to deal with a person in a wheelchair. I mean, I've worked around that because I'm used to doing that. But those types of services, the day-to-day things, go to Save-On. You know, everything you want is kind of on the higher shelves. That's my access. For somebody, and I'll have to ask Save-On or one of those stores at some point, if somebody with a visual impairment came in, how do they even know where to look? There's no auditory awareness in these stores. So that's another form of access. My own building. There's nothing, and this is the new, where I live is, it's a 3-year-old building. And I'm just doing a quick look around the place now because I've often wondered about this. I don't see anything that's visual. So if a hearing impaired person were living here and there was a fire, there's no lighting system that would indicate you got to get out of the building. So those types of accesses as well, access to a place where you can live that accommodates your needs.
Terry, you've taken a particular interest in web accessibility and adaptive technology. Some of this is age-related, but it seems to be a whole new frontier in terms of disability and accessibility. What are some of the issues you've experienced, and what are some of the issues you've observed out in the public at large?
I've taken a huge interest in web accessibility, actually. In fact, I went down to the States and went to California State University to pick up my adaptive technology certification. And because the government online initiative that started happening in the 90s with the federal government was moving more and more services to online services. Well, websites are only as good as the programming that backs them up. So you need, and there are web accessibility guidelines that Canada has accepted. They're called W3C guidelines. Most web designers I know just, they want to make something pretty, and I can understand that. But you also have to make something that's functional. Somebody that's visually impaired doesn't care about the visual prettiness of it. They want to know their screen reader will read what's on that screen. They want to know their screen reader can weave itself around a government website that deals with the programs they may be looking for. Otherwise, they don't have access to the same level of access to the electronic world as anybody with without visual. From a physical point of view, and I see the internet as opening a whole new world for persons with disabilities. But the accessibility to that world, it's the same as a highway. You know, you need to be able to have the right tools to use it. So accessing what's online means that whoever designed it had to build that into it. But has to be in the, what they call the architecture of the website. And where we're going to start seeing really a big impact on this is in the years to come, as the kids that are going through school now that may not have access to the adaptive technology needed to do some of the research, homework assignments, all of this type of thing, because so much of school now has become electronic. So there's issues around there for persons with disabilities, and those are more of disabilities like visually impaired, hearing impaired. There are some that relate to the physically impairments where they may have to use alternative. They can't use a mouse, so they'll use an alternative adaptive technology that I've seen ones that, you know, they can use head movements to move their mouse around. They can use eye trackers to do their keyboarding and this type of thing. But the program, what's on the screen, has to be able to accept that type of external, I guess you would call it the hardware, or pardon me, the software, because the hardware would actually be in the computer. So that access for that generation, the under 30, is going to become even more important, because those are the ones that need it to get through the early academics of our life. And if we don't get through those, we're going to wind up just what the last speaker was talking about on the program prior to yours, on educational standards and standards of life declining, because you won't have access to some of the services or some of the community that you might have had you had the proper education. And when you can't do that, you don't feel like part of your community. When you're sitting there as the quote special needs student in the class, and nobody's really, you become more of a job creation project for a teaching aide than you do for somebody that plans on working their way through school and going on with their life. That has a big impact on your self-esteem. If you don't feel like part of your community, if you don't feel like you have a purpose, you're already you've got these strikes against you already, because you're becoming your worst enemy. So the whole, with I was just at the Nanaimo, City of Nanaimo website recently to look for a few things, and I'm pretty good on the internet, and there was, in fact, I did an accessibility study on the opening page for the City of Nanaimo, and I sent it to them saying, here's all the mistakes on your page that don't work. Now, you don't see these mistakes because they're in the coding in the background. When you do an accessibility test, the programming hasn't been there. And the more we get into templated websites like GoDaddy, I can't think of any others right now, but there's WordPress, all of these, where there's templated designs that you use, they lack the programming needed to make these tools work. The Industry Canada, when they went to the online government online initiative, and that was towards mid to late 90s, they came up with a plan, and I was involved in planning that on the web accessibility. There was CAP centers, what they called CAP centers, computer access points, all across Canada. I think there was about 9,600 of them. So that people that may not have had access to computers at home could access them that way. They also built in screen readers, the adaptability tools needed so that anybody could go in there and bring up JAWS, for example, which is a speech input program. That's a reader. Dragon, naturally speaking, is voice input. You know, those computers were set up that way. Unfortunately, they were put mainly, I don't mean this in a negative way, they were put mainly into libraries and smaller centers. And a lot of those librarians were volunteers, and they were librarians. They weren't technologists. They knew there was a computer over there, but the maintenance, the use, and I'm sure you're aware how finicky computers can be, was falling apart, so people never really had the full access they needed. Unfortunately, that program was shut down in 2006. It was a cost-cutting measure. Well, that cost-cutting measure cost people a lot of other things. We're seeing that repeated with the veterans. A 50-year-old vet could probably handle an app quite handily to deal with, the things that they may need through Veterans Affairs. An 80-year-old vet, I doubt many of them, I know my father wouldn't have, a lot of them don't even know what a cell phone is, let alone a smartphone. And I don't mean that in a negative way, it's just that's not their generation. So how do those people access these programs with the vet centers shut down using an app when they don't even know what an app is? So, and they never will, and I don't expect that they should, but we have to be planning. Access has to be planned in advance. I do a lot of videoing with my iPhone, and I send it to city planning right away when I find access issues, that are out in the public. And to their credit, I have met with the city. I've met with city since we last talked. They were very receptive. I'm waiting for some results, but nothing happens quickly, and I don't expect it to happen quickly. But that's me making use of my technology because I recognize the power of it. A lot of my peers tell me, that I'm an anomaly because they do Facebook and they do email. And they book their trips.
Yeah.
Travelocity, as an example, is not a friendly site for somebody with a visual impairment.
We'll have to end it there. We've actually come to the end of our time. Yeah, but thank you very much for providing this update and giving us a lot more to think about. And in fact, I'd like to speak with you again in 2 or 3 months to see what else you've been working on.
Okay, I appreciate being on there. And just really quickly, today is the United Nations International Day for Persons with Disabilities. Every year, December 3rd, I hope people realize that.
Okay, thanks a lot,
Terry.
Thanks
for having me on, yeah. Kevin, and you have a good day.
Bye-bye. Terry Weens is a Nanaimo-based access activist who blogs at terryweens.com. You can also find him on YouTube.
People First Radio is an initiative of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and broadcast on CHLY 101.7, radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the partnering organizations. Listen to People First Radio on demand. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpages.